Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida was one of eight senators who voted against the Senate fiscal cliff deal, which, as we've been saying, if passed in the House today, would allow the Bush-era tax cuts to expire on income over $400,000 and $450,000 for individuals and couples, respectively. That's a tax increase that hasn't happened in 20 years. This morning, Rubio issued a statement explaining his vote, saying thousands of small businesses, not just the wealthy, will now be forced to decide how they'll pay this new tax, and chances are they'll do it by firing employees. Now, that claim has been debunked, as we'll hear. But what is going on here politically? Is this a Marco Rubio-Joe Biden face-off ahead of 2016? And what's been the reaction to President Obama's statements yesterday? In a few minutes, we'll get the details of the deal, but first, the politics behind it. Rick Klein, senior Washington editor for ABC News. Rick, you tweeted this morning that Marco Rubio's statement was possibly the most important statement of the day. Why?
Marco Rubio is very clearly thinking about 2016, and his vote last night or early this morning and his statement today explaining why he opposed the bill is very significant. Only eight senators voted against it, and for Marco Rubio to be one of them is one thing that is just sending a shot across the political world today, because it is a clear line of demarcation for anyone considering a run in 2016 that they are judging this to be a bad deal. Marco Rubio is expecting that the politics of this will turn. He is now on record against it. All eyes turn to other 2016 contenders, including maybe Paul Ryan, the House Budget Chair, who was involved in crafting the deal that Speaker Boehner was unable to reach with the president. It puts pressure on him. It puts pressure on people like Chris Christie and Bobby Jindal and others thinking about a run. Where do you stand on this bill?
Yeah, Ryan had previously voted yes, along with members of House leadership on things, but that could change, you know, if there's this presidential primary that's, you know, 4 years away, but suddenly on the table today. This is a Washington Post Felicia Sanmez who says just that, that, you know, it's the pressure on Paul Ryan that she's watching.
That's right, and I think any other Republican who's thinking about having national ambitions or even statewide ambitions in the future is watching this very carefully. No one feels good about this bill, Democrats or Republicans. One little side note, Michael Bennett, who's the head of the Democrats' Senate campaign arm, actually voted against the deal as well. He said it didn't go far enough in reining in the deficit. He was concerned about it. That was extraordinary on Democratic circles.
Right. Some Democrats are saying yes, taxes were raised, in effect, by letting the Bush tax cuts expire on income over $400,000 or $450,000, but that wasn't enough. They wanted a lower threshold. They also wanted, as you said, spending cuts addressed, and we should repeat, that's been kicked down the road 2 months. As you said yesterday, that's going to be the new super cliff. But what about Marco Rubio's claims? Last night, CNN host Ali Vesey took Kansas Republican Tim Holzkamp to task over that argument that this tax increase, in effect, would hurt small businesses. Let's listen.
You're saying that the number of businesses that would have more than $450,000 in income, cleared income, after their expenses and all of those things, that file as S corporations would number a million? I just don't, A, believe that number to be true. And number two, the vast majority of those businesses are, in fact, not job creators, right? You understand that to be the case. Most of those are sole proprietorships, there's partnerships, they're small operations, don't actually employ anybody.
Well, actually, I've seen research that when we were talking about the millionaire threshold, that would impact 41% of business income. And that's a significant number.
That's a very, very, very different and somewhat misleading statistic. 41% of business income is not 41% of businesses. You understand the distinction, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So it doesn't actually have anything to do with job creation. So I just want to be clear on the fact. Hold on.
Rick Klein, it went on for quite a while. And then Ali Vesey actually had him on again this morning on CNN and held up this Montana report that many Republicans are citing, making this claim. And Ali Vesey said again, you know, these are not small businesses as we think of them. It is, in fact, Ali Vesey who formed a corporation, but it's just him. In other words, these are not job creators. It doesn't seem, though, we look at Marco Rubio's statement today, Rick Klein, it doesn't seem as if Republicans are going to retire this argument. Is it a winning argument for them?
Well, most of them are calculating that it isn't. You're seeing the vast majority of Republicans in the Senate having voted to uphold this deal, which is rather extraordinary, because you have this energy from the Tea Party and now from Marco Rubio and others who are saying that any tax increase is hurting America's job creators. Even Grover Norquist, the keeper of the tax pledge, said he's comfortable with this deal because the alternative is worse. So I don't think it's right now the majority argument inside the elected leadership of the Republican Party, but there are Republicans who are making the calculation that this is where the party base is right now, and that any tax increase, supporting any tax increase, even though we know what the alternative is and they would all acknowledge it's a worse alternative, is going to be viewed negatively by their own supporters.
Well, just take a look at the Democratic side. You've got Joe Biden being sent out as the wrangler yesterday, promising Senate liberals that the president won't cave on entitlement spending cuts when those come back before Congress, so having to wrangle the Democratic side. And then you've got the president. You and I spoke yesterday after he spoke at 1:30 East Coast time, and was, a lot of people thought, mocking of Congress. His supporters say it's about time he won the election. But what are you hearing?
I think Barack Obama probably took the deal backwards with his appearance yesterday. Joe Biden brought it back. It was an extraordinary moment for Vice President Biden, who spent a lot more time as a senator, as you know, than as vice president. He knows the dynamics in the Senate and the Congress. He knows the people on both sides. He became the chief negotiator with Republicans. Mitch McConnell reached out to him, and it was that relationship, the ability of those two men to communicate, that allowed the White House to reach a deal with Republicans. And then Joe Biden was brought in again as the closer among Democrats. You saw both sides of his potency, and really a terrific moment for the vice president personally to be able to play this role, to make something happen. I think the president, in that statement yesterday, he was doing some saber rattling. He was threatening Congress pretty overtly. I don't think he was displaying the best of congressional relations, however. He needed his vice president to play the good cop to his bad cop.
Well, in fact, Politico's Mike Allen is reporting that he's hearing that leader Nancy Pelosi had a buffet last night, and that the Democrats in the House are angry at the president. They say it felt political and not statesman-like.
Well, I don't think that any member of Congress wanted to be on Capitol Hill on New Year's Eve. And the way that the president had almost a joking tone toward the inability of Congress to work when he still needs their votes, it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And guess where Joe Biden is spending his afternoon now? It's in the House, where he's talking to House Democrats, and he'll be the closer once again.
Yeah, well, we're reading in the New York Times today that the era of the grand bargain is dead. Let's see how he does. Rick Klein, senior Washington editor for ABC News, on some of the politics behind the drama that we're watching unfold in Washington as the House is looking today at the Senate deal that was passed at 2 a.m. Rick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And so all of you out there, how are you feeling as you plunge over the fiscal cliff? Let us know at hereandnow.org. We'd love to hear from you. Back in 1 minute with the details. We'll get real deep into the Senate deal. What does this mean for parents, teachers? We'll tell you all in 1 minute here and now.